Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone to Sufi Pilgrims Podcasting. This is a new initiative, and hopefully this will be a valuable, interesting, and stimulating one. The first question you may ask is, why a podcast? Well, we've tried a number of ways of communicating, and we're always listening, of course, to what's going on in the contemporary world, and I keep hearing a lot about podcasting. But especially, I realize that I myself often, especially in the car, listen to a lot of recordings, both on the radio and on tapes. I'm not quite set up to listen to podcasts yet in my car, but will be eventually, and a lot of people do. So I'm hoping this will make things easier. Also, podcasting seems to be technically much more feasible and easy than doing YouTube videos. So I'm hoping to make this a weekly presentation and in this way to exchange with my listeners the process that we at Sufi Pilgrims Progress are going through. Now, as I just mentioned, podcasting, there's a lot that one hears about in the media, on podcasting, everyone's doing it. And so I think it's important to be in touch with what's going on in contemporary society. On the other hand, we don't want to get into those approaches which are trendy, or as they say in French, tendance, and just be with the mainstream flow. That's not our idea. But I think overall, this is technically and logistically a good way to spread information. So, in the words of one of my famous, one of my favorite authors, Philip Roth of New York, at the end of his book, Portnoy's Complaint, "And so we may to begin," in a heavy German accent, which I myself do not have. So, we are beginning, and the first podcast is just going to be about what these podcasts are going to be about. Okay, so we have to have some kind of introduction. Now, one of the important parts, and this is actually maybe even my principal reason for doing this, is to follow my own process. And I know that all of our processes are interlinked, actually. So sometimes we make a discovery and we realize that where there were a lot of people around us making the same kind of discovery. This may be what Jung referred to as the collective unconscious. But in any case, I'm expecting that when I talk about different subjects, people will themselves be in touch with those subjects or thinking about those dimensions. If not, perhaps this will stimulate them to do so. So the notion of process is vital to this entire experience. Okay, now why do I put an accent on process? Well, I distinguish process from protocols and procedures. People who know me know that I'm not a big fan of algorithms, process, protocols, rituals, procedures, regulations, and all of those kind of things. Why is that? Because all of those are forms of rigidity, forms of one size fits all. And what we're trying to do here is to explore the specificity, the uniqueness of our spiritual process over time. Now, this is not a notion that you're going to find in any of the religions. Okay, so in all of the, on the other hand, however, I think our Prophet ﷺ was very aware of this. You could call it being in the flow, or you could call it being acutely attuned to the will of Allah. All of that is the same as being in touch with the process. So in each of the tariqats that I myself experienced, there were always, you know, procedures, practices, and we were more or less guaranteed, if you do these practices, you'll get these results. Wrong. Okay, this is wrong in a very fundamental, theological, metaphysical way. You could never, in the area, especially in the area of spirituality, you could never guarantee the results of a given process. This has been my experience and my disappointment over and over and over again within my practice of Sufism. Recently, I had a kind of acrimonious exchange, which I have from time to time, on Facebook with a lady who was claiming that her sheikh said, if you do salawat you will get the character of the Prophet. And I was saying to her, who said that? Where did you hear that? Where did the Prophet, or peace be upon him, or Allah, promise you, if you do this, you get that? It's just not like that. Yes, if you're pious, you will get to the heavenly stations. But outside of that, you won't see that either in the Quran or the Sunnah. Do 20 days of fasting and you'll get $20,000 in your bank account, even your spiritual bank account. Doesn't work that way. Okay, so, interestingly enough, I discovered this a long time ago when I was studying philosophy. There was a famous British philosopher named David Hume, and one of his major theses was that there is no necessary connection between cause and effect. And this was very kind of shocking at the time, upsetting. How could this be? But his argument was very solid, and you couldn't help but seeing some credibility in there. No necessary link between cause and effect. Only 35 years later did I understand that through Islam. Why? Because we know in Islam that it's not the causes that give the effect. Okay, this in Arabic, that's the asbab. It's not the asbab that give the effect, it's the musabib. It's the creator of causes, so it's God who creates the effect. That's why Abraham could, peace be upon him, could be in the fire and not burn. Because the connection between fire and getting burnt is in the hands of Allah, not in the hands of the fire. Okay, so there's no spiritual practices, and I've had to confront people a few times on it, there's no specific spiritual practices that can give you specific spiritual effects. In fact, many of the serious hal spiritual states that I myself have experienced have come in completely unexpected kind of circumstances, almost ajib, the Arabs would say, hard to believe. For example, the first time I actually experienced fana fi Allah, the highest Sufi state, okay, of being absorbed in the consciousness of God, was during a Gestalt workshop led by an atheistic Gestalt therapist. Now, try to put that in your pipe and smoke it, as they say. It's inconceivable, but you know, Allah can use whatever means He wants to give you the result. Okay, so the point being here, we're going to try to follow our own process, and you as well will be following your own spiritual process over time, and the results are unpredictable. We can't say exactly where this is going. What we know is if our intentions are in the right place, and I think they are, then we will see signs of progress and we will get tajalli, we will get ilham, we will get inspirations coming to us so that our understanding increases bit by bit. One of the ways I used to put this with my clients when I was still doing psychotherapy was, I would say, stay open to the unfoldment of your destiny. Now, your destiny may well and is almost by definition unpredictable. Allah doesn't want us to know our destiny. That's why using soothsayers or clairvoyance is haram in Islam. We're not supposed to know the future. although some of the prophets predicted certain things, but this is not part of our practice. So our destiny unfolding is going to be something unique to each of us, something unpredictable, often unexpected, but if we're believers, we know it's in the hands of Allah, and we know it's for good purposes. One of the things I may want to do in this process as well is give you some references so that if you want to explore more during the week, that you'll be able to do so. Now, there are some very interesting articles in this blog site at SufiPilgrimsProgress.com, but I would like to refer you as well, or maybe even more so, to some of the great Sufis. And one of the first great Sufis that I was introduced to was a man who is now buried in Cairo, whose name is Ibn Ata'ila, who one of the great Sufis of the Shadhili Darkawi way. And Ibn Ata'ila wrote a book that my first sheikh said you should have on your bookshelf after the Quran and the Hadith. He said this is the third most important book. Now, a lot of scholars and many Sufis may not agree, but it's the book is the Hikmat of Ibn Ata'ila. And the Hikmat is really means wisdoms, but we translate it in English as aphorisms. And this is a great book. Everyone should have it, in fact, on their bookshelf. It's a little bit difficult as a read because the concepts are very subtle and somewhat philosophical, but it's well worth the energy expended to try to understand them. And I'm going to read you a couple of these aphorisms, and you'll see it's in the same spirit as what we're talking about today. So one of them from chapter 8 goes the following from Ibn Ata'ila. It is rare that divine inspiration, and I think what he means here is the hal, come except suddenly. And that servants cannot, so that servants cannot complain that it comes by virtue of their preparation or their efforts. So this is what we were saying before. The hal can come, the spiritual realization can come in the most unexpected of circumstances, and cannot come in the most expected one. So you could do dhikr for hours and hours on end and see no results except maybe feeling a little bit more peaceful at the end of it. And then you can be somewhere off taking care of your nafs or studying professionally or whatever, and suddenly this powerful hal descends and your life is changed, like the life of Paul on the road to Damascus, for those who know about Christian history. Citation number 2. Far be it from the eternal degree to be dependent on causes. So again, whatever spiritual openings you get, this is not because of your practice, it's because of divine decree. And thirdly, everything relies on the divine will, which in turn depends on nothing at all. It's probably a bad translation. The divine will is independent. It's not dependent on any causes, but we are dependent beings, and the cause of everything we experience, the ultimate cause, is Allah. Okay. So these will be a series of podcasts in this spirit to try to identify the underlying process that's occurring, firstly with me, but then hopefully with you as well. And as this evolves, we will gradually get a sense of where this is taking us. But having followed my own process now for a very long period of time, I feel confident that this is a legitimate way of proceeding. You know, as I was preparing this talk, I was thinking about the time during my late 20s, actually, when I had a project in my filing cabinet, which was called TARP. And TARP stood for Towards a Radical Psychology. It was my attempt at the time to synthesize everything I knew about psychology and politics and Marxism. But I never got around to writing it because I wasn't ready. But now, 40 years later or more, I feel like I have a generally good handle on the overall picture about what life's about, what spiritual practice, our relationship with God. So I'm ready to deliver the product, perhaps 40 years later than I expected. Okay, bottom line, one of the important principles, and contrary to everything we learn in the modern world, is not to try to impose our will on events and on results, but rather to be surrender, the Arabic word is taslim, be surrendered to the divine will. Some of the Sufis say to be like wool in the hands of the carder of wool, or the weaver of wool. So we're trying to learn to be surrendered to the process, and exercising our will may be necessary, but it can often be counterproductive. And certainly in the modern world, there are hosts of examples. I'm sure we'll talk about this in future podcasts, about how this application of the human will causes more trouble than it causes satisfaction and results. So with that brief introduction, we'll leave you for this week. Inshallah, next week we will see. The podcast I was thinking of doing first was one about protecting us from evil. Maybe we'll get to that next week, maybe not. In any case, what's primary is that we stay with the here and now as it unfolds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Amin, amin, ya rabbi, amin.